You've had your coffee. Let's see. What other legal addictive stimulants? Anyways. Well, I tell you what. Man, it was a good week this last week. We had a great day at the coast the other day. For those of us that were able to go, just had a great time. We were out there for a couple hours, just enough to get a little bit of sun, and enjoy some fresh air. I mean, like smoke-free air. We all remember what that's like, right? I mean, I know it was quite a ways ago. But anyway, it was great. And so if you went with us, man, just thanks for coming. And it was sure a great time. I tell you what, I think it was just a couple days ago, the governor rolled out the guidelines again, I think is what we're calling it, for people to mask up. And I kind of anticipated, I'm sure there's some people that just chose not to come to the service today just because, I don't know if you're anything like me, man, it seems like I'm just hearing about all kinds of people right now that have COVID. And so it seems like it's just spreading like crazy, this new Delta variant, whatever it is. So what I would encourage everyone is just to be in prayer for those that have COVID. And I know for some it's a very serious thing. So, but we're here this morning, and we're gonna worship, we're gonna sing, and so I would just encourage everyone here to be encouraged. You know, it's at times like these where I'm like, you know, God, what really are you doing? I mean, what's going on? I was hoping that that COVID was just totally in the rearview mirror. But we also know that politicians aren't going to let it go that easy, right? They'll never waste an opportunity. But again, at the same time, several, even some in our church have COVID. If you know who they are, please pray for them. My parents, I know my mom in particular, tested positive for COVID. So I would ask that you would pray for them. And I think my dad has it too. I don't know that he's gotten his test results back. But anyway, so just a lot going on. And so tell you what, we're going to go ahead and pray. We are going to sing. And some of the songs that we're going to sing this morning are Standing on the Promises. Here's a dad joke for you. Did you know that you could be standing on the premises without standing on the promises? Standing on the Promises, How Firm a Foundation. And I'm just so thankful that during times like these, we can look to God and say, God, we don't understand what's going on. We don't have this under our control, but you do. So let's go ahead and pray as we meet this morning. God, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. God, we just give this time to you. We pray that you would be exalted as we sing. And we pray that you would help us all to be encouraged as we as we get into your word, and I pray you'd help us to recognize and embrace the truths that you have for us this morning. God, we pray again that you'd be exalted in all things, and we'll thank you for all that you do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I trust this morning that each of you know Jesus Christ. I just love Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life. And as we stand together, we're going to sing Standing on the Promises. How thankful we can be that his promises never change. Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.
promises, we have a firm foundation. It never changes. It'll never fail. How firm a foundation.
Things up here, or I am.
I get to practice this a lot, but still. So.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated.
so thankful for our God. And, you know, whether it's COVID or whatever else comes up in our life, whether it's things at work or whatever we deal with, we have a God who never changes. He's always been there. He always will be. Everything that He's promised, it will be fulfilled. And nothing has ever surprised Him. And as we go through our weeks, I trust that we'll keep our eyes focused on Him. It's very easy to get our eyes on the world around us. We get busy doing things. I get busy doing things. But, you know, we need to take time and dwell upon who God is. I mean, we are here to bring glory to Him. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, we just thank You for who You are. And, Lord, what an awesome privilege we have this morning, Lord, that we can know You as our Savior. And that You stoop down to mankind, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, to pay the price of our sins, Lord, to reconcile us to You. Lord, we are so thankful for Your grace, Lord, that none of us deserve, yet we can freely partake of Your grace, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, this morning You be with Pastor Mike as he preaches, Lord. I pray You be each of us as an individual, that our hearts, Lord, would be yielded to You this morning, Lord, that the cares of this world would be quieted, that we would just focus entirely on You, Lord, that You would work in our hearts to make us more like You, Lord, and to be the people that You would have us to be, the light You'd have us to be here in Grants Pass, Lord. Again, we just thank You so much for Your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, if you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel.
First Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 23. And we are here in the middle of David's life. And we've looked at some interesting things that have been going on up until this point. Really, just some circumstances in David's life where, I tell you what, David did not ask for them. How many of us have circumstances in our lives that we didn't ask for? How many of you, we have a few? And this morning, I'd like to focus on a particular, it's kind of a word, it's not in the text, but it's the word relentless. How many of us have ever had something in our life where it's almost like, maybe we've said it to someone, it is just absolutely relentless. How many of us have ever referred to something, or maybe someone, as the thing that just wouldn't go away? How many of us have ever maybe said to our spouse at some point, you know, circumstances are happening, and, man, the phrase that I'm thinking of, it totally escaped my mind. What was I thinking of? Oh, this is what it is. How many of us have ever looked at our spouse and we might say something like this? There's always... Can you finish the phrase? There's always something. You ever said that? Now, hopefully you're not talking about your spouse when you say that. There's always something. How many of us have ever been in a circumstance, maybe have been at a point in our life, and it's just like life right now is just absolutely relentless. It seems like it's coming from every angle, and it seems like it's not stopping. Now, we're going to read the text here in just a minute, but let me read a statement here from Chuck Swindoll. He says, and it's not in your notes, or actually it might be in your notes, but it's not on the screen. Saul was working overtime to find David and kill him. And it wasn't just Saul he had to fear. The entire army of Israel was committed to the death of David. So here we are in the middle of David's life. He's not on the throne yet. Or I guess it's not necessarily the middle. But he's not on the throne yet. God has told him that he would be the next king of Israel. And so he's got these great expectations. And yet life right now, it does not seem that life is corresponding with this promise that God gave to David sometime before. At this point, it doesn't look like David's going to be king anytime soon. It seems at this point that life is just being relentless to David. John Woodhouse describes this development that we're looking at here as a nationwide manhunt. Saul had led Israel's army to pursue David, and I'm telling you, it looks like there's not going to be any end of it soon. Notice here in our passage, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to look at the first five verses for now. Notice, the Bible says, they told David, the Philistines are fighting in Keilah and are looting the threshing floors. So David asked the Lord, should I go and strike down these Philistines? The Lord said to David, go strike down the Philistines and deliver Keilah. But David's men said to him, we are afraid while we are still here in Judah. What will it be like if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? This place that we're going to look at, some people think that it maybe wasn't in Judah at this time, this particular town called Keilah. It's likely that it was, but anyways, at a minimum, its agriculture was beneficial for Judah. So this particular place, it was under attack by the Philistines. David asked the Lord once again, verse number 4. But again, the Lord replied. Actually, did I already read the previous? Oh, yeah. So verse number 4. So David asked the Lord once again. But again, the Lord replied, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought the Philistines. He took away their cattle and thoroughly defeated them. David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now, we're going to stop there really quick, and we'll keep reading here in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and get into this part of this message. And again, if I could just say it once more, at this particular time in David's life, it seems like Saul in particular, with the army of Israel behind him, is just being absolutely relentless. And maybe you've had a situation like this in your life where it just seems like something, a thing or a person or circumstance is just never going to end. And for some reason, God is allowing these things to happen. The word relentless means oppressively constant. Oppressively constant or incessant. Some of you know, over the past few weeks or so, in my family, we've been dealing with something we have never, ever experienced before. We don't have any experience with it, at least up until now. And that is lice. Now, how many of you, when I say the word lice, you know exactly what I'm talking about? And some people make it sound so easy, like, oh, you just do the treatment and it's all good. I don't know what planet you came from, but I'll tell you what, in the first several days, it was like constant, even like multiple times a day. And I remember thinking to myself over the past few weeks or so, like, man, these lice, they're just absolutely relentless. That's a word that's been coming to my mind. Right in the middle of all that, as if to add insult to injury, our dryer went out. I don't know about you, but a dryer is kind of helpful when all of this is going on. By the way, when's the last time you've been to a laundromat? I'll say two words, sticker shock. And that's all I'll say. But our dryer, and it didn't just fail one time, okay? It went out and we called the guy to come out and he fixed it, you know, and cleaned it out and got it working again. And then probably, what was it, like 2 days later? It's like, oh, goody. You know, it failed. And I think my wife thought it was crazy. I went on Amazon. I bought a replacement motor. That thing came in the day that it came in. That night, I had a YouTube video. I had the dryer completely torn apart. I was really, really surprised because when it all came back together, are you shocked? Okay, Dawn is laughing at me. I think she's shocked the fact that it worked. But like every part, like I had no parts left over. It was just a miracle. How many to this point right now with COVID? We're just like, this whole thing is just relentless, whether we're talking about COVID itself or politicians or whatever. And we're just like, man, I thought all of this would be in the past by now. And some of us, we might be kind of getting discouraged about it. We're like, man, is this thing, are we ever going to be done with this? It could be some other circumstance in your life. Maybe you felt this way before, maybe you haven't. But probably at some point in your life, you'll look at a circumstance, you'll look at some kind of a situation and say, man, this is just, it seems to be ongoing. And we pray and we're like, God, are you ever going to take this away? Is this ever going to be truly, truly done? We're wondering what plans God has. Of course, my parents texted the other day, it may have been yesterday, and said that they had COVID. And then he just said this. He says, 2021 has been quite a year. I thought 2020 was quite a year. He's talking here about 2021. Some of you might remember, just a number of weeks ago, my parents got hit in a head-on collision. And he says, man, 2021, quite a year. Now, notice this here. In verse number 14 of our text, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this. We'll get it on the screen there for you. Notice here, 1 Samuel 23, verse number 14. David stayed in the strongholds that were in the desert and in the hill country of the desert Ziph. Saul looked for him. And notice the way that it says it here. Saul looked for him all the time, literally every day. Saul looked for him all the time, but God did not deliver David into his hand. So God was being faithful. And in verse number 15, he says, David realized that Saul had come out to seek his life. So in David's mind, David sees the fact that Saul is seeking him. And as the Bible tells us here, Saul looked for him every day. Have you ever been in a situation to where that situation has your complete attention? You're probably not looking to God like you should, and it just seems like you look like it. You look at it, and you're just like, man. I mean, it just seems relentless. It's like the thing that never goes away. David seems to be at this point in his life where it's like, is Saul ever going to give up? Saul seems to be absolutely relentless. Saul, of course, at this time in his life, David did not ask for this. He didn't ask to be king. But God had told Saul, I have rejected you from being king. I have chosen someone else to replace you. David was this new chosen king. He didn't ask for it. And because Saul is so jealous about his throne, he wants to assassinate David and get rid of him altogether. And what we'll find here in this passage, if you were to read this, the context through completely, what you'll discover is that that Saul, it's like he's totally neglecting the national interests of Israel. He's not concerned so much with things in Israel that should have his attention. His attention is entirely on David. That's like he's got a one-track mind, and this is what is consuming him at the time. And so David sees all this happening, but can I just point out to you, as you and I are on this side of the events, we're looking back at David's life, can I just tell you that even though Saul seems to be persistent, he's like the thing that never goes away, he seems to be so persistent, even more than Saul himself, God is being more persistent and faithful. And it's hard during these times to really see the faithfulness of God, especially when we're looking by sight. All David saw was Saul. Well, I mean, God is working in his heart and doing some things, but David was very conscious about what was happening with Saul, the fact that he was chasing him. And you and I can also come to a point like that, to where the problems and the circumstances of life, they have our attention. And it's like, man, will this ever go away? And can I just encourage you this morning? And this is really the thrust of the message this morning. Even when circumstances seem like they will never end, God is more faithful and more persistent than even those circumstances. For example, did you know that there's coming a day where we will probably never speak the word COVID again? And aches and pains, they will be completely gone. And I'm talking about like forever. If you're a child of God this morning and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I am telling you, there's coming a day, and it's really hard for us to imagine this, but there's coming a day where on into eternity, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain. And it's hard for us to really comprehend this because we're finite creatures and we're here. It's like, man, is this ever going to end? And yet throughout all of eternity, we will experience life to the fullest. And one day, God tells us, he says, we'll look back and we'll say, it will be worth it all. Or it was worth it all. But even if God doesn't take away some circumstances until that day, until we are with him for all of eternity, do you know that God will give us the grace day by day to endure anything that this world throws at us? We might pray to God and say, God, would you take this circumstance away? He might not take the circumstance away, but he will always answer in the affirmative for a request for grace. Always. Hebrews 4:16, it's not in your notes, but he says, let us come boldly to the throne of what? Throne of grace. So anything in the Word of God where we are commanded to live in a certain way, God will always give us the grace to live in that way. And so could I just encourage you, some circumstances that seem to never go away, God might take those away. He might never take that away. But God will always give us grace day by day as we need it, as we come to him, request him for grace. He will always answer in the affirmative, even if he doesn't take the exact situation away until we get to heaven. Back in 1895, some of us have probably heard of Andrew Murray. He was in England. He was suffering from terrible back pain. And one day he was told of a lady that was also going through some serious trouble. And he was asked, what message should be given to this lady? And he sat down, he wrote this out in a note to this lady. He says, in time of trouble, say, first, he brought me here. It is by his will I am in this straight place. In that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends me to learn, and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And last, say, in his good time, he can bring me out again, how and when he knows. Therefore, say, I am here, number one, by God's appointment, number two, in his keeping, number three, under his training, and number four, for his time. And the whole point is that God has control on the circumstances that I do not have in my control. And so I could trust him with the time and those circumstances, whether he takes them out of my life at some point or leaves them in my life. Have you ever just wondered what God is doing? Yeah, you ever wondered, okay, God, what's the idea behind this circumstance that's in my life right now? Just recently, I came across Psalm 44. And it was if I have never read this psalm before. Some of you might be familiar with this psalm, but in Psalm 44, the psalmist, he writes about God's faithfulness to previous generations and all of that. And yet they were at war with another people that the writer doesn't mention specifically who it is. The Israelites, as God's chosen people, according to the writer of the Psalms, this particular psalm, he says, "We've been faithful to you, God, and yet you have allowed us to be defeated." And notice the statement here. Maybe some of us have prayed a prayer like this. In Psalm 44, "All this has happened to us, even though we have not rejected you or violated your covenant with us. We have not been unfaithful, nor have we disobeyed your commands. Yet you have battered us, leaving us a heap of ruins, overrun by wild dogs. You have covered us with darkness." How many of us have ever prayed, "God, I've been faithful. Why is this circumstance happening? God, I've tried to be true to you. And why is it that you've allowed this to happen?" And sometimes I think we just need to take a step back and say, God knows and we don't necessarily know. Do you know that there have been some defeats in time past that have brought about some great victories? How many of us are familiar with years ago, the missionaries that went to the Alka Indians? Jim Elliott. You remember that story? You remember how they were killed by these tribesmen? And because of that, there were many people that answered the call to missions. And so what looked like as an incredible defeat, God brought about a wonderful victory. Sometimes we might feel like we're just hanging on for dear life. Notice this, Alan Redpath here on the screen. "So often the providences of God seem to run completely counter to his promises. But only that he may test our faith, only that he may ultimately accomplish his purpose for our lives in a way that he could never do if the path were always smooth. God, it seems like your promises are running counter to your providence. God, what is it that you're doing? And yet we can know for sure that God is working." Some of us, we might work out maybe on a week-to-week basis, maybe day-to-day basis. And it is only by that tension that we gain strength physically to be the kind of have the kind of physical fitness that we desire. And it's the same way with us spiritually. Notice this familiar verse, 1 Peter 5:10. "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you." Maybe you've heard this story about a boy who carried the cocoon of a moth into his house to watch this fascinating process as the moth would emerge from its cocoon. And when the moth finally started to break out of its cocoon, the boy noticed that the moth was struggling. And so the process was really slow. And so in an effort to try to help the moth, he reached down to that cocoon and widened the opening. And soon the moth was out of its prison. But what the boy did not realize was he actually crippled the moth. The wings remained shriveled. Something was wrong. What the boy did not realize was that the struggle to get out of the cocoon was essential for the moth's muscle system to develop. And even so with us, God grows us and he develops us and he builds us. And some of us are like, "Man, will this thing ever go away?" And God says, I'm training you. I'm building you up by the very thing you despise. And one day you'll look back and you will thank me for what I did in your heart during that time. Well, here we are. By the way, there's no shortcut to physical growth. There's no shortcut to spiritual growth. It's a process. Well, here, both David and Saul, their spies were in the area, as we've seen. in the first few verses of chapter 23. And the report is given that that the Philistines are attacking this place called Keilah, potentially under Judah territory. It's likely disagreements on that, but at a minimum, it was a border town and it was very susceptible to attack from the Philistines. And so here, right in the middle of harvest season, the Bible tells us that Keilah was being attacked. There at the threshing floors, and so word comes, and as Alan Redpath writes, notice this here, Saul, of course, was helpless to do anything about it. Neither did he care much, for he was too concerned at that point about the bitterness of his soul and his desire to get rid of David, to bother about the Philistines. And yet here David is, he hears this news about this particular town under attack, and here he is filled with the Spirit. He is God's chosen king over Israel, and he just can't get over the fact that these innocent people are being attacked. And so, as we have seen here, let's read again. I'll read it to you. Verse number two, the Bible says, in fact, verse number one, the Bible says, so they told David, the Philistines are fighting Keilah and are looting the threshing floors. Verse number two. So David asked the Lord, should I go and strike down these Philistines? The Lord said to David, go strike down the Philistines and deliver Keilah. God says, I'm going to go with you. By the way, even today, in the day that you and I are in, I think about a similar command and a similar promise that we've been given. The Bible tells us in this day that we're living in, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And notice the statement here. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Do you know that as God has us here on earth at this time, do you know that God has promised His presence to be with us the entire time that we're here? And some of us might wonder, okay, what is God doing in this day? And God says, I have you here for a purpose. He says, I am with you and I will continue to be with you. Well, the promise essentially was the same to David. Go fight the Philistines and I will give you victory. Well, David went to go mobilize his men and his men weren't too excited about it. They wanted to be sure, okay, you know, here we are. Saul is on our tail. And now you're talking about going out and fighting against the Philistines as well. How many of us, it seems like when there's something going on in our life, it's like it's not just one thing, but sometimes it seems like it's several. Well, here, David and his men were being pursued by Saul. This opportunity comes to save the town of Keilah. David says, God, should we go up against the Philistines and save this town? And David's men are like, wait a second, we are already being pursued. Why would we want to add more complication to this mess that we're in? So David goes to God again and says, are you sure? Do you want us to go against Keilah? God says, go against them. You will gain the victory. And we're kind of skipping over some of the details here, but God does deliver Keilah. And he also gives David and his men many of the spoils, particularly cattle. David then moves into Keilah, which was a walled city, for protection. David saves the people of Keilah, and so there he enters this particular town, this walled city, this wonderful protection that David has. And yet it doesn't. Not too much longer later, Saul himself discovers that David is in Keilah. So Saul gets his army ready, and guess where he heads toward? He goes to Keilah, he's headed toward Keilah, and this town of Keilah that David had just rescued, Saul, the intent in his heart was actually to go against Keilah and attack it because it was protecting David and his men. What a wonderful heart that Saul is showing here. I mean, what a blessing, you know.
Warren Wiersbe writes this: Saul was not only willing to slaughter the priests of Nob, if you remember that story a number of weeks ago, he writes, but he would have destroyed his own people in the city of Keilah just to lay hands on David. And so David flees, knowing that Saul, he intends the worst against this town. He gets out of there. And notice our first point, if you're taking notes. Notice here, life is relentless, but I can always trust that God will show me the next step. Our first point. Maybe we don't have it on the screen. Maybe we do. There it is. Life is relentless, but I can always trust that God will show me the next step. So David comes to God and he says, Will Saul come against Keilah because I'm here? God says, yes, he will. Will he attack the people of Keilah because I am here? Yes, he will. And so Saul flees. And so some of us this morning, maybe we feel as if in life, it's like life is relentless. Saul was relentless. Life is relentless. It just seems to be coming at us from all sides. And here's what I can guarantee you this morning. While God might not make it known to you what you need to do 20 steps from now, if you are in the middle of relentlessness, what I can promise you is this, that God will show you the next step. He might not show you 20 steps down the road, but he will show you, okay, this is what you must do today. Today. Notice this here. In Psalm 31, which David, it is thought that David wrote this psalm around this time. Notice the statement here. He says to God, my times are in your hand. How many of us have ever prayed that? God, my times are in your hand. He says, deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. He writes a few verses later, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Notice a statement from Alan Redpath. It's a few slides before if you can't find it there. Notice a statement here. In this moment of adversity and trial, David knew that all the question marks of his life were in the hand of God. He knew it was impossible to be in God's hand and in the enemy's hand at the same time. You say, Pastor Mike, I don't understand what God is doing. Here's the wonderful thing. Your times are in God's hands. And all the question marks, all of the uncertainties, they are all in the hands of God. He knew it was impossible to be in God's hand and the enemy's hand at the same time. This man is rising out of his testing and adversity to learn to put his utter dependence upon the Lord. And if I could make one more quote here, Carrie Schmidt writes this, kind of along the same lines. He says, often our problem with God is that we believe we can write a better story with our lives than he can. Ever felt that way before? God, can I just take out your sketchbook? Can I take out my, just bring your storyline of my life out? And I just want to erase some things right here that's going on in my life. And let me write in some different things. How many of us have ever come to God and we've got a pretty good idea about how life should be going on in our lives at the moment? God, can I just tell you the way that I think things ought to be? And yet you and I can look up at a sovereign, all-wise, all-powerful God. We could say, God, I recognize that my times are in your hand. It seems like this is just never ending. But God, in the middle of all of this, I recognize that even though this circumstance, it seems to be persistent, it seems to be unending. God, what I am seeing emerging out of all of this is the fact that you yourself are more persistent and more faithful than even that circumstance right there. I wish that you would take it out of my life. But God, at the same time, I recognize that you are faithful. You are giving me your grace. You are sustaining me during this time. Well, here, as we continue on, I think it's in verse number 13, it refers to the fact that David just moves from one place to another, just continues to move along. And he eventually ends up in the town of Ziph, which is kind of a desolate area. In fact, it's still the same way today. People that go to this particular area of Ziph, even today, are just shocked the fact that David could have survived here in this particular location, a desolate area. But what we find here in this passage are two things. Number one, that God continues to be faithful to David. In fact, if I could just read that verse once again, in verse number 14, Saul looked for him all the time, but God did not deliver David into his hand. So, on the one hand, Saul was just absolutely relentless. But step by step and day by day, God did not allow David to fall in the hands of Saul. So God was being faithful day by day. I could just imagine David on the run here. He's probably thinking like, man, you remember what he said a number of weeks ago? He says, there is but one step between me and death. And I can just imagine here that David feels like, man, if I just make one misstep, Saul's going to get me. And some of us might feel in certain circumstances like, man, if I feel like I'm just one step away. If there's just one misstep, I feel like the enemy's just going to devour me, or this circumstance is just going to overcome me. But notice that God was faithful to David day by day and step by step. He wouldn't let David be captured by Saul. And I don't know what's going on in your life today, but here's what I know. Step by step and day by day, God will prove himself faithful. Well, what's going to happen with COVID in the days ahead? I mean, I could only imagine. I really don't know. But here's what I know. No matter what happens with COVID, here's what I can guarantee. God will prove himself faithful day by day. Amen. That's what I know for sure. And in your circumstance, he will prove himself faithful. Notice here in verse number 16. Then Jonathan, the son of Saul, here's just an awesome thing. He left and he went to David and Horesh. He encouraged him, literally strengthened his hand through God. He said to him, don't be afraid, for the hand of my father Saul cannot find you. You will rule over Israel, and I will be your second in command. And notice this here. Even my father Saul realizes this. When the two of them had made a covenant before the Lord, David stayed on at Horesh, but Jonathan went to his house. What an incredible encouragement Jonathan was. I don't even know if he totally recognized that. But here, David is in the wilderness. Jonathan arrives. He strengthens David, as we've mentioned. Literally, he encourages him. He strengthens his hand. David Smyrna writes this. One can only guess how dangerous it was for Jonathan to visit David at this time, whose life his father had gone out to seek after, but how encouraging Jonathan's visit was to David at this hard time. David needed such encouragement from the one who, like him, trusts on God and lives accordingly. Just how much of a risk do you think it was for Jonathan to meet David in the wilderness? And yet at the same time, what an encouragement it was to David. See, some of us, we don't know what's going on in the lives of other people all the time. We might have some friends in this room that we're open with them and they're open with us. And yet, I don't know that we really even know all of the difficulties that are a part of someone's life at a given moment. And you and I might think, okay, a little bit of encouragement. I mean, really, how far can that go? I mean, a spoken word. You buy someone a cup of coffee and you bring it by unexpectedly. In fact, just a number of weeks ago, we did that at camp. So, you know, Jessica and I and others, man, we went to camp down in California, the juniors and the seniors, and it was just absolutely awesome. I haven't hung out with a group that age for like a long time. And so, but anyway, it was just awesome. And so there we were with the kids, and so I think it was on like Thursday or Friday. I think it was actually Thursday. We went out and we ran some errands and everything, me and Jessica. And then we brought coffee back, not for our kids, but we brought coffee back for all the workers there at our part of the camp. And man, it's just something small that we could do. But there was a girl that said a couple times to Jessica, thanked her for the coffee, and she says, "You made my day." A cup of coffee? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like nothing, right? I mean, that's like going through the drive-thru and spending, actually today it's more like $5 or $6, right? Someone said you should name Starbucks $5, but anyways, She says, you made my day. Well, the little encouragement that we give, do we recognize how big it is? Notice the second statement here. Life is relentless, but God will send the encouragement that I need. And maybe it is that God has touched my heart to touch someone else's life and to be the encouragement that God wants me to be. A little encouragement goes a long way. And so if God puts someone on your heart, I would encourage you, whether it's making a phone call or whatever else it is, you have no idea how encouraging that is to that person. Jonathan coming out to meet David, what an encouragement. Well, David moves into not just the region now of Ziph, but the actual town of Ziph. And it seems as if the residents here, they heard about what happened to the town of Nob, how Saul came against that town and killed many, many people there. Many, many people. Just a sad story there. And notice in verse number 19, "Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, 'Isn't David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon?' It seems that what happened to the town of Nob when Saul came in and destroyed that, those here in the town of Ziph did not want this to happen to them. So in verse number 20, the Bible says, 'Now at your discretion,'" they're talking to Saul, "'O king, come down. Delivering him into the king's hands will be our responsibility.'" We don't want the same thing that happened to Nob happen to us, where Saul just comes in and wipes out our town. So we're going to go up to Saul. We'll say, "Hey, Saul, we've heard that David is here. We'll find him and we'll bring you a map on how to find him. You just come here and get him once we've got him." Notice the statement here by John Woodhouse. Saul could not have asked for better subjects than these Ziphites, could he? They knew that the heart's desire of their king was to try to find David. They knew, of course, what Saul intended to do once he had David in that hand of his. They almost certainly knew what the hand of Saul had done to the priests of Nob. That no doubt was the reason for their excessive helplessness. So the Ziphites, they give a map to King Saul on how to find David. But David also has spies in the area. So David leaves the area and he goes to another place. See, Saul is just absolutely being relentless at this point. He's like the thing that wouldn't go away. And so David, he keeps on going from place to place. It's like he keeps on getting displaced, finding a new place. Saul finds out where he's at. He's got to be on the run once again. Finally, David goes to the wilderness of Maon. M-A-O-N. Saul has 3,000 in his army. David has about 600, totally outnumbered. And there, when Saul finds David, Saul does this maneuver where he has half of his army go around the backside, come against David, and then the other half is coming at David toward the front. And notice this here. Verse number 26. Saul went on one side of the mountain while David and his men went on the other side of the mountain. David was hurrying to get away from Saul. But Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men so they could capture them. Now, what on earth could happen at this point? I mean, how is it that God can save David? Saul is being absolutely relentless. He is chasing David. There's no way of escape. Don't you love how God is faithful in the circumstances, in the details of life? And God will show himself faithful day after day. Notice this here. But a messenger came to Saul saying, and notice what he said here, "Come quickly, for the Philistines have raided the land." I mean, talk about timing. There it looks like there is absolutely no way out. And yet this word comes seemingly out of nowhere. The Philistines are attacking Judah. Specific location is not given. Saul, you've got to come quickly. They are raiding our land. So Saul leaves and pursues the Philistines. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you see God in these details in David's life? Let me ask you another question. Do you see God in the details of your life? I don't know that we'll ever completely understand all of the different ways that God has been faithful to us. I don't know if we'll ever, even in heaven, completely wrap our minds around all the different ways that God has shown himself faithful in the details of our lives. Something that we learned in the story of Esther in the Old Testament was that for a Christian, the word coincidence really ought not to be in our vocabulary. You say it was just a coincidence. This word came to King Saul that Philistines were raiding the land, and so he had to leave his pursuit of David. Would you call that a coincidence? God works in the details of our lives. He is faithful. And God might not take the Saul away out of our lives. Maybe you literally have a Saul in your life today. Some kind of a circumstance. And it's like the thing that never goes away. Here's what I can promise you. God might not take King Saul away from your life, but he will prove himself faithful day by day by day. And he will give you grace to sustain you day by day by day. And some days it might feel like, man, just one misstep and I'm a goner. And some days it might feel like that. Man, just one bad move. But I'm thankful that even when life seems relentless, can I say it this way? That God is more relentless than that circumstance. He is more faithful. He is more persistent than that problem in my life seems to be. And so if you're sitting here, you're just wondering, okay, God might not take that circumstance in your life, but he will always answer in the affirmative for a request for grace every single time. And it might feel like that circumstance is never going to leave. Here on earth, it might never leave, but I am telling you, there is coming a day where all the pain and all the sorrow, everything that brings sorrow into our life, all of the health concerns, Do you know that you're going to get to heaven one day and you're going to realize, well, first off, I wonder if we're going to have a planner in heaven. You know, a calendar. But some of us, we're going to be like, no more doctor's appointments. We're going to be like, man, and no more. There is coming a day. And it might seem like here on earth that life is relentless and it's never ending. And even if it is, God will give us His sustaining grace. But there is coming a day when Jesus rules and reigns and He is on the throne. And I'm telling you, we can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be. And these circumstances that seem like they will never change, one day we will look back, you know, like 10,000 years from now. And we're going to be like, it was all worth it. And God's plan was completely perfect. Why did I ever doubt? God is faithful day by day. And that's our third point. Notice here, life is relentless, but God is faithful. Life is relentless, but God is faithful. I'm talking here about the details of your life. I love the story. I've told this story before. Helen Rosevier, missionary to Zaire, she tells this story. She says a mother at her mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. She said, we tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive. She says, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and her sister. One of the girls responded, dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. She says, tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. Well, that afternoon, a large package arrived from England, and the girls watched eagerly as this package was opened. And much to their surprise, Helen Rosevier writes, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed earnestly started digging deeper, exclaiming, if God sent that, I'm sure He also sent a doll. And she was right. She writes, the Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere requests, and five months earlier, He had led a ladies group to include both of those specific articles. 5 months earlier. Amen. Do you see God in the details of your life? Well, at this point here in 1 Samuel 23, David, he's been betrayed by the people of Keilah, betrayed by Ziph, and yet God has shown Himself faithful every single day. Now, what was God doing in David's life, in David's heart at this time? If you read Psalm 54, you'll find on the subtitle of this psalm that it was written when David was in the cave. And notice here, notice what he wrote. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. He will recompense the evil to my foes. Destroy them in your faithfulness. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For He has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies. He also wrote at some point around this time, Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong in the Lord, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. I think some areas of God's faithfulness I just kind of take for granted. And I personally, man, I experience God's faithfulness day by day. I don't wake up in the morning wondering if gravity is still going to be in effect that day. I've never gotten up and wondered, okay, is the sun going to rise today? Amen. I kind of take these things for granted, kind of on a subconscious level. And yet God brings us through certain circumstances, I think, to make us conscious of His faithfulness, like conscious of it. where we see it and we see events play out and we're like, God, I see your faithfulness. Do you see God's faithfulness in your life? Maybe in some of the details. Maybe in ways that you've never seen it before. You see the persistence of your problems, but do you see the persistence and the faithfulness of God in the background working in spite of those things? Here's the whole point. God is faithful. And we don't always understand what God is doing in our lives. And we might look at some of our circumstances and say, man, will they ever go away? And here's what I can guarantee you, that even if they never go away here on this earth, God will prove himself faithful through all of it. He will always answer in the affirmative for a request for grace. And one day, all of these problems, COVID, whatever, they will be gone for all of eternity. Let me ask you a question. Is God faithful? The circumstances of life that seem so persistent. Well, here in verse number 29, David ends at a place called En Gedi. Then David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En Gedi. What's awesome about this is that this is like an oasis in the desert. It's a perfect hideout. It's got caves and all that. But one of the awesome things about it is there are there today even freshwater springs, waterfalls, and lush vegetation. And it's like this is David's his resting place, his place to be rejuvenated right here at the end of chapter 23. And it's like right here where David ends up, we just see another way that God is faithful. Just the other day, while we were at the beach, while we were at the ocean, my nephew, my sister and her husband and their kids are here in town. And we've been having a good time with them the past couple days. But they came with us to the ocean on Friday, and it was awesome. And my nephew, one of my nephews had the idea where this, you know, here we were at the ocean. And there's this small river that was coming by us, and it emptied out into the ocean. This particular beach, it's a beautiful beach, and so the water was going by us. And so one of my nephews had the idea of trying to build a bridge across that river. And so we did. We got some of the driftwood and tried to get as big a pieces as we could find, and we made this bridge across the water. The tide was coming in. Do you know how long that bridge lasted? We got it in place at just the right time to where it lasted about a minute and a half. Go and bring that picture up real quick. I don't know if you can see it there. There, one of my nephews, he's trying to like hold it in place. It was going like straight across, and now it's like a diagonal, whatever. And sometimes it feels like the waves and the current and the pressures of life are just relentless. And it's like they're never going to end. Do you know why I know that? Let me just say it this way. God is the one that controls the waves. He's the one that controls the current. And so when it seems like the pressures of life just seem to be relentless, God is faithful all the time behind the scenes. He is sovereign over all. Does that mean that we need to trust Him? Absolutely it does. But He is sovereign. He rules and reigns over all. And so this morning, can I just encourage you, wherever you're at in life today, it might seem like the pressures of life are just unending. And it seems like that sometimes. Will this circumstance ever go away? It may or may not. But one thing I know for sure is that God will prove Himself faithful through it all the entire time. And He will always answer in the affirmative for grace. If you go to God and you say, God, I need your grace, I am telling you, He will give it to you. He might not take the circumstance away, but He will give you grace to sustain you. And it might seem like sometimes you're about to just be overwhelmed, you know. And yet God will prove himself faithful step by step by step. Someday I think we'll look back at the circumstances of life, the details, how God has worked in the details. And we're like, we'll be like, God, I can't believe I ever doubted you. God, I can't believe that. I mean, you were faithful the entire time. I thought I was going to, you know, like the wave was just going to come and do me in. And God, you were faithful the entire time. I think one day we'll look back in heaven and we won't understand it all. I don't think, but we'll see God's faithfulness at work in our lives. We'll say, God, thank you so much for being faithful. Right now, it seems like at times that the problems and pressures of life are relentless. Can I just encourage you to keep your gaze upward? Because while Saul was relentless, God was being relentlessly faithful, persistent in David's life. And maybe it took a while for him to see it and to get his eyes back on God. But as time went on, I think that David could see God's hand at work through his life. He certainly writes that way in the Psalms. And just like David, just like God was faithful in David's life, God is faithful to me and you day by day, even today. And so can I encourage you to keep your gaze upward and to trust him, to trust his heart, even when you don't understand his ways. God is faithful all the time. Life is relentless, but God is faithful. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. I pray you'd help us to look to you, even in circumstances, in the middle of circumstances that we might not understand. God, thank you for being faithful all the time. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a couple questions this morning. Number one, do you know Jesus? Has there been a time in your life where you have called upon him? I'm telling you, he is so faithful. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came down to earth. He gave his life for me and for you that we might look to him for eternal life. Have you looked to him? Have you requested that salvation he offers? If you have never done that, I would encourage you, even there from your seat, call upon him, ask him for eternal life. I wonder if you're here this morning and maybe life just seems to be relentless. And it just seems like maybe it's coming from every angle. And sometimes you might wonder, okay, man, am I just going to go under? God is faithful all the time, and we might not always understand what he's doing. Can I encourage you to keep your eyes upon him by faith? And know that every circumstance that is outside of your control is in his hands. God is more faithful, more persistent, more relentless than the very circumstances in your life. Can I encourage you to look to him?